Well, every generation has a unique experience when it comes to retirement planning, and they have common questions they like to ask. Today, we're going to focus on two generations, baby boomers, who are retiring at a record clip right now, and then Generation X, which comes right behind them. We're going to talk about some of the key questions that each of these generations should be asking in terms of retirement. That's coming up.
Welcome to the My Retirement Clarity Podcast, where our goal is simple: to help you close the gap between what you know and what you implement. The team at J.L. Perkins Wealth Management does this by helping good people make great decisions so they can enjoy an amazing retirement. And now, here's your host and financial advisor, Lee Perkins.
Well, glad to have you on My Retirement Clarity. I'm Ben George with Lee Perkins, owner and financial advisor at J.L. Perkins Wealth Management there in Macon, Georgia. Find them online at MyRetirementClarity.com. Lee, how are you?
Doing well, man. It is spring has sprung and pollen is everywhere. We got cherry blossoms out. So yeah, it's one of my favorite times of year outside of the pollen. Don't want the pollen, but that's here. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah, beautiful time of the year. And I washed my car a few days ago and the yellow coat's already on it.
Absolutely. Why don't we just drive yellow cars during the spring?
I know, right? We might as well at this point. I got a black car, so it makes it even worse. But I'm excited about our topic today because I know you work with baby boomers all the time. Are you starting to work with Gen X at all?
Starting to see some of the Gen Xers, and that's sort of my I was born in 70, so I'm 54. So yeah, people that are in that late 50s, that's your first Gen Xers. It's kind of hard to believe, but yeah, starting to see some of those trickle into the office.
Well, I want to talk about some of the questions that they should be asking here. I've got, I think, four for each generation. And this doesn't cover everything, but I think these are some key topics that should be addressed. So let's start with the baby boomers first. Again, this is people born between approximately 46 and 64. Everybody in this generation getting into retirement age right now has already made that transition. But let's start with this question, Lee. You talk about risk when you get into retirement. How do I manage the risks of the market and the volatility in the market as you enter and get into retirement?
Well, the first thing you got to do is understand you are not in your 30s or 40s anymore. So your investment strategy generally needs to adjust as you get older. It doesn't mean you automatically just put all your money in CDs or cash because you don't need to be in the stock market. That's not the case. Just because you retire and say you're 65 years old, that doesn't mean we're trying to plan for you to live another 30 years or so. So your money needs to be here for another 30 years. So you're still going to have short-term money, sort of mid-range, mid-term money, and then long-term money. So some of that long-term money needs to be, you know, still be fairly aggressive in a growth type of strategy. So yeah, you just got to make sure you adjust things as you're getting ready for retirement and then into retirement, because you can't still have your foot on the gas trying to earn as much money in the market because you've been in the accumulation phase your last 30, 40 years or however long it is that you work. You're now going to be in the withdrawal phase of retirement. And so you got to manage those assets just a little bit differently.
Well, you talk about the distribution phase, and that's kind of what the next question needs to be, right? So that's hard for everyone to, A, shift their mindset, but then also figure out how to start taking that income and making those steady withdrawals in retirement and start pulling from that money that you've been accumulating for so long. So what's the best approach for doing that?
Yeah, so it's different for different people. I mean, you want to coordinate your income sources, your income from all of the sources that you have. And sometimes people just really have not sat down and put a pen to paper and figure out exactly how much they're going to need. And that's really you need to do that before you actually pull the trigger and do retire, because you need to know how much income you're going to have coming in, whether it be from a pension, if you're fortunate enough to have that, from your Social Security, and then how much gap is there. And if there's a gap, you got to do two things. You either need to decrease your expenses, which a lot of people can easily do that, or then you got to fill the gap with some of the money that you've saved. And so, yeah, it's pretty much once we coordinate that and figure out what that dollar amount is, then we got to go to the types of money that you have. And this is where we're going to look at the tax status of the different accounts maybe that you have. And we want to withdraw in the most tax efficient way possible. And it varies. It may not be the exact same thing for this year. The strategy, your withdrawal strategy this year may be different than it is next year, depending on the various moving pieces in your puzzle. But the important thing is to have a plan ahead of time and just know where that money's coming from. Because I'll tell you, Ben, I'd say probably 6 or 7 people that come into my office, that they're an expert at what they've been doing in their work career, but they'll ask something as elementary as, hey, how do I take money out of my retirement account when I retire? And they don't have any clue on how to do that. So we try to walk them through that and educate them as best as possible on how you can pull that money out and supplement your other sources of income. And we can have it come to you on the 1st of the month or the 30th of the month, or if you want it on the 1st and 15th to kind of mirror what you've been doing while you've been working, we can certainly do that. But yeah, there is a little bit of a learning curve there.
Again, as we go through this stuff today and you want to follow up, ask questions, or get these questions answered by a financial advisor, Lee at JL Perkins Wealth Management, happy to hear from you at 478-254-3550. Social Security next up for baby boomer generation. And I'm sure these questions will, some of these will probably fall into that Gen X as well. But focusing on baby boomers, Lee, what's the best way to maximize those benefits? Because you want to get the most out of what you put in there. So how do you go about that?
Right. So this is a fascinating question to me because of that word maximize. What are the best ways to maximize my Social Security benefit? And I think it depends on how you define the word maximize. Now, if you would have met with me 7 or 8 years ago, or you came to a Social Security workshop that I did, I would have made the case and I would have had math to back it up that if you delay claiming your Social Security to your full retirement age, or maybe even age 70, if you delay getting that and you live to whatever, you know, you got to live long, you will get more money over your lifetime. So technically, you have maximized your Social Security benefit. But what I've seen happen over the last 4 or 5 years or 6 years or so is people don't live as long as they were planning to live. And if you don't live, if you've delayed claiming your Social Security and you don't live long enough, you didn't maximize your Social Security. So it is a little bit of a life expectancy gamble. The other thing that I've seen happen, Ben, and this is probably more frequent, is I've seen people slow down earlier than they thought they would. You know, I always talk about the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years.
Right.
Those no-go years, for you to, if you want to maximize your Social Security and delay till 70 getting it, yeah, that period of time in the future where it crosses over to where you made the right decision is usually going to be between 11 and 12 years. So you got to live to be, you know, 81, 82 years old. What I've seen, most of my clients who are in their 80s, they don't do a whole lot. They're not traveling as much. They don't want to get on a plane. They stay around the house. And that Social Security check every month goes into the bank. So I don't view that as maximizing their Social Security. I would have rather seen you take it earlier in life, maybe at 62 or 63, when that benefit could make a give you a higher quality of retirement early on. So that, again, that's just kind of what I've seen in the real world. And I would say probably most of my clients are choosing that even without me kind of, because I'm not going to tell somebody exactly this is what you should do. I'm going to give them the pros and cons of claiming early versus delaying and sort of talk through and give them some of my opinions and let them ultimately make the decision. But I would say more and more folks now are choosing to claim Social Security earlier rather than later.
Well, it's definitely a conversation you need to have with an advisor before you decide to do anything and get the most out of what you put in, because everybody's situation is going to be different there.
Hey folks, Lee Perkins here. I wanted to tell you about our brand new book called Next Phase, How to Retire in a Year or Less Without Regrets. It's all about helping you prepare for the next phase of your life, whatever that looks like for you. So if you're ready to make the most of your next phase, or if you're already retired and aren't sure you're doing all you can to get the most out of your retirement, then you'll want a copy of this book. All you have to do is text Next Phase to 478-475-2050, and we'll send you a copy right away. You can also access additional resources and register for one of our upcoming workshops at our website, www.myretirementclarity.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
All right, last thing for the baby boomers, Lee, is what to do with the house. I know that everybody kind of has a different approach. Do you want to relocate? You know, do I want to get out of the house I'm currently in, get something smaller and downsize, use that extra money elsewhere? How do you answer that question typically when somebody says, hey, should I consider downsizing or relocating in retirement?
Yeah, so this is a very common question nowadays, and I didn't really get this question too much 8 or 10 years ago, and I don't know if it's just because we are becoming more affluent as a society, and somebody could look to either relocate or maybe buy a second place or something like that. First thing I want to do is dig into to what's the reason. Now, if you live in a two-story house and your master bedroom is upstairs, yeah, I would recommend that you downsize and try to find a house, whether it's a one-story house or a two-story, where your whole world's on the bottom floor and you don't have to go upstairs very often. But if you want to downsize, like the challenge with downsizing now in today's housing market is you could downsize now and get, you know, two-thirds size of the house or half the size of the house, and it might cost you exactly what the big house that you're in right now is. So it's not a great time to buy a house. It's a great time to sell a house, but just not a great time to buy a house. And also, if you're financing it, the interest rates, as we sit here in March of 2024, interest rates are not very good. Relocating, you know, it all depends. I want you to live where you're going to be happiest. That's the number one thing. I've got clients that will move all over the country following grandkids around. And if that's what makes you happy, do it. Absolutely do it. Have some people that will retire and then want to move closer to where their elderly parents are. If you want to do that, that's fine. There's just a lot that comes into play. But again, I want you to go and move and somewhere to where you're going to be happier in this fourth quarter of your life.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's what we try to help people with. And answering questions like these will help you get there. Again, if you want to schedule a meeting with Lee and talk through these, you can go to talkwithjlp.com, find a time on the calendar that works well for you. Go ahead and set that up and you'll be off and running. All right, let's transition to Generation X. So this is anyone born between approximately 65 and 76, and they're kind of getting into that stage where, all right, I'm really starting to think about retirement a lot more, making some plans for what I need to do here. So there's a lot of questions that they're starting to ask themselves and look for answers to. So let's start off with this one. And this is a big one for a lot of people too, Lee, is how much do I actually need to have saved to be able to retire?
Yeah, so this is the number one question that I'm asked just in casual settings with people that not necessarily come into my office, because people that come into my office that generally have already accumulated a majority of what they've saved up for retirement. But if I meet somebody at the ballpark or somewhere else, and they're like, and they know what I do for a living, they're like, hey, how much do I need to have saved for to retire? And that I cannot answer that question, because the answer is it depends. Depends on what your lifestyle is that you want to have in retirement is. Depends on where you want to live. But ultimately, it comes down to one thing. It all depends on how much money you spend. If you don't spend a whole lot of money and you've got a pretty low-budget lifestyle, what you need to save for retirement is going to be way less for somebody that's got a high-budget lifestyle. I've said on the show many times that I've seen people with $200,000 or $300,000 live like kings and queens in retirement, because they don't have a whole lot of debt and a lot of monthly outgo. And I met people with $2 or $3 million that are going to struggle in retirement because they spend a lot of money. So yeah, the answer is it depends, but I would tell you to save as much as you can.
Yeah, the more you can save, the better off as always. But you can dive into your own situation personally with Lee and J.L. Perkins Wealth Management to see what that number needs to be for you and your family as well. All right, next one. So you know kind of what you may want to have an idea of kind of where you're trying to get to. The other question that comes up quite a lot is, am I actually on track? And a lot of people like to compare themselves to others and their kind of their age range or their generation. But how do you truly know if you're on track?
Yeah, so that this is a tough one, because on track, I mean, there's all kind of things online that says, hey, if you're 40, you should have this saved by now. Or if you're 50 or 60, every age band has some number out there that some some organization has published out there that says, you know, this is what you should have. And you're going to look at that and you're going to say, wow, I'm ahead of the average, or I'm below average. But I would tell you, don't be average. Whatever that says, you want to be higher than that. Again, it kind of gets back to what we just talked about. What does an average retirement look like? Again, it's kind of an obscure number, because one person's vision of retirement is completely different from somebody else's view of retirement. So if you want to kind of know if you're on track, I would tell you to meet with an advisor and tell them what you're trying to accomplish and when you're going to retire, sort of the time frame. You know, that's one of the first questions that I ask when somebody comes into the office and they tell me they've got, you know, $2 million. I always say, what's the purpose of the money? Well, if the purpose of the money is to bridge an income gap, then we know what that is. But lots of times people are like, you know what? I don't really need this money. I want it to be there in case I need it, but I don't really need it right now. So if you could wind up in that position and the money that you saved is just sort of gravy, I like to call that being in position A, because you've got then options that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, that's always great to have those options and have that flexibility. The more you have, the more chance you have of success in retirement. All right, we're talking about some retirement questions for each generation, focusing on Generation X right now. What about maximizing your investment returns, but taking out some of that excessive risk, right? How do you do that? Because I know people start to begin thinking about, okay, I didn't have to really worry about risk as much early in my career, but now I'm getting to that point where I want to kind of protect what I've earned and made so far.
Yeah, so when I saw this question, how can I maximize my investment return without taking on excessive risk? It's almost like, if you want to maximize returns, you got to take risk. But so what I tell people that come in, and maybe they're going to work another two or three years or however long they're going to work, the amount of money that you have at that point in the game, it's not going to change significantly. Of course, the market could go up a lot in the last 3 years, and that can increase your account balance. But it could also go backwards, and you don't want it to go backwards a whole bunch in your last couple of years. So I would say the bulk of the money that you have, whether it's all of it, 70, 80, 90%, whatever it is that you're comfortable with, I'd probably take my foot off the gas on that money. I'm not saying move to a money market or a 20% equity, 80% bond. I'm not saying any of that, but maybe move to a little more of a balanced strategy or something like that. But I would still make your contributions and your match go to something that's really, really aggressive. That way, if the market's going down, you're buying more of those shares at a lower price. And when it rebounds, and the market always rebounds, you're going to own more of that stuff and your balance is going to increase. But yeah, I think the last few years, there's no reason to take more risk than is necessary, because that probably last 5 years of your working career, I would tell you, the gains, the losses will hurt you more than the gains will help you. So that's usually my advice there.
All right. Very good. Let's close it out with one more question then, Lee. And when you get to this point, this age, you probably have at least one, maybe multiple 401ks from previous employers. What should you do with those 401ks? I know this question comes up from Gen X. It should be asked at least to get the answers that they need.
All right. So the correct answer is, do not take this money out and spend it on something. don't go buy a pontoon boat. Don't go just buy something, because you worked for a period of time at that job and the purpose of this money was to save it for retirement. So don't just take it out and spend it on something unless you have no other option and it's truly an emergency. A pontoon boat is not an emergency, all right? So you can do a couple different things. I would suggest rolling it over into an IRA. If you roll it over to an IRA, you can invest in whatever you want. The investment options in an IRA are much greater than whatever options your 401k company offers you. You could take your old 401k and put it into your new 401k or the 401k at your current company. I generally don't recommend this because I would rather you have more control over the money. And also, 401k plans can be more restrictive when you're access to the money. And again, I want you to have access to the money. Now, if you're retiring between the year of 55 and 59 and a half, I want you to have some money in a 401k with your current plan that you can access, because you can access it without a 10% penalty. And most people don't understand that. Maybe we'll do another show one day about how you can get to your 401k before 59 and a half without a penalty. But I don't want to muddy the waters too much in this. But yeah, I would tell you, take that old 401k, put it into an IRA, and you control the investments, and you can do it on your own, or you can go with, you know, hire an advisor like our firm or somebody else to give you guidance and answer some of the other questions that we've talked about here today. So don't be scared to pay for advice. It's crazy how I will meet people. Met somebody last week, and they've got a very large estate, and he couldn't get over the fee and the fact that he's been, quote, doing well in his 401k for years, and he doesn't want to pay anybody to help him. Don't be scared to pay somebody for help. There's not an ultra-wealthy person that I know that is doing everything on their own. They've got people that help them with it, and people help them that help them make great decisions. So that's really kind of our mission for our firm is we help good people make great decisions so that they can enjoy an amazing retirement. So that's what we want to do for all of our clients, the boomers and the Gen Xers.
Yeah, that's great, and a great point too, because managing investments is not easy to do on your own, but it's very manageable on your own. But it's all these other pieces of retirement planning that you really need help with and the assistance with and the knowledge from someone that does this every day. So if you want to at least begin that conversation, Lee, right, the best thing to do is go to talkwithjlp.com, schedule a meeting there. Anybody that goes there, Lee, and picks a time out on your calendar that works for them, what's that next step going to look like?
Yeah, so it's basically that's about a 15-minute phone call for me to just learn a little bit about your situation and what challenges or concerns that you have. And many times on that phone call, I can answer the most pressing things. But what we ultimately want to do is see how we can add value. I would say 8 out of 10 people that we meet with, we're able to add value and put them in a better position. And if I can't, man, I'll shake your hand and we'll part as friends. And hopefully the time that we've spent together has been worth it. But most people, we can improve some area of their life. Going back to what you were talking about with the investment. Yeah, the investment, that's the easy part. We spend probably 25% of our time on the investment. Where people are lacking are the other areas, the income planning, the tax planning, healthcare planning, legacy planning. That's where it can get complicated, and it only gets more complicated as you get older.
Again, you can go to talkwithjlp.com or call 478-254-3550 for JL Perkins Wealth Management. All right, Lee, great conversation, some great questions. I know there's plenty more to ask and answer, and I hope anyone that hears this and wants to follow up does so, but we always appreciate their support and always appreciate your time as always.
I appreciate it, Ben. Take care. Hey there, Lee Perkins here. If you're like a lot of folks, you've been listening to this podcast for a long time now, but I've got an important question for you. Have you implemented any of the ideas that we've discussed on the show? If you haven't, what are you waiting on? You know you're not getting any younger. So here's my challenge. Don't just consume the content. Our number one goal for this podcast is to help you close the gap between what you know and what you implement. So if you're ready to implement, take that first step today and visit www.talkwithjlp.com and schedule a 15-minute phone call with one of our advisors, and we'll help you close the gap between what you know and what you implement so you can enjoy the next phase of your life. Now is your time. Don't procrastinate any longer.
Investment advisory services are offered by J.L. Perkins Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor and insurance agency. Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, legal, or investment advice. Always consult with a qualified tax, legal, or investment professional before taking any action.